This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Marquette program, Joe Marquette.
Well, wait a minute. Was she done saying nice things about me?
She's probably never done doing that, Joe. But I have to bring you on
the air. I'm afraid to ask.
I mean, Pastor Dave's over here, 5-4-3-2. I'm impressed that you, did you use both hands or one hand? 5-4-3-2? It's only one hand.
I took my shoes off,
if okay, you really want to know the truth. So this is the Team Martech Hour. I am Joe Martech, and I am back officially for the duration because, thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You let me go to the Bahamas for 2 weeks on the boat, and the boat didn't break.
Mm.
That is all by itself a miracle. And then I got back, and then last week I went down for mini season. My brother and I diving for lobsters down to Big Pine Key, and we didn't get very many, but because we're old, one. Two, we only dove for 2 or 3 hours.
Three. That's it?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
is
hey,
that because you're old?
Yes. What happens is, Vin, you know how the mind thinks we're 14?
Yes.
But yeah, the body says, we don't care what you think?
Exactly.
Well, that's what happened after 2 or 3 hours out there. We said, this is enough.
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't get many lobsters. Tough. You know, I was talking to Dan earlier today. You can buy lobsters for $10-15 a piece, right? So we figured every one of these cost over $100.
Yeah, but look at all
the food,
fun,
the gas. You know,
look at the fun you had.
Well, you know,
and quality time with your brother.
Well, mm-hmm. that wasn't what I call. It's my brother. It's not quality time.
I'm sorry for you.
I am too. You think? Hey, you should go with my brother.
No, I don't care to.
1-888-221-8990. Okay, team. You're not team. You're a team member. We are the team.
We're the team.
Listeners, students, write this phone number down. Keep it next to your phone. This is important. It's toll free from any place. 888-221-8990. We have Vince Rosino, CPA, not only a regular CPA, he's a forensic CPA, which means he's an expert witness recognized by the court system. He's an ex-college professor.
But not at Columbia.
But he was at a college that somehow or other was somewhere in there.
Yeah, they were at the State University of New York.
Yeah, it's a pretty
Old
big,
Westbury.
Pretty big
very
school.
Nice.
Pretty big school.
A big school and a very prestigious
yeah.
one.
Mm-hmm. So we have any tax questions? This is the thing. And, you know, and more than tax questions, I think what most people don't realize, if you're going to start a business or close a business, probably the most important person you can talk to is a credible CPA, because the tax consequences can be unbelievable if you make a mistake. And once you've done it, you can't reverse it.
Well, you can, Joe, but sometimes you lose the benefit. There's, like, for example, if somebody doesn't bother to make certain elections,
right,
turns out that they, if they have losses, they can't use them, yeah, at least not initially. They've got to wait several years until they get profits to use the losses. So if you have a pass-through entity like an S corporation or a partnership or an LLC, everything passes through, you can use the losses if you have basis. But if you have a C corp, which, yeah, is what everything defaults to, if you, yeah, don't make, mm-hmm, special arrangements, if you have losses, you may have to get stuck with them for a while.
So what happens is there are different forms, is all we're saying. You can be a sole proprietor, you can be a partnership, you can be an LLC, you can be a C corporation, an S corporation, and there's probably more. But the key thing is there's a saddle and there's a rear end that fits that saddle, and you want to make sure you've got the right saddle.
That's right.
So when you're riding that horse, that this thing is going to work properly. So the horse and the cart, I talk about that a lot, putting these things in a proper order, whether it's investments or wills, trusts, whatever it might be. Which we also have our normal guest member, who happens to be probably the most consistent member, and he's not a member, but he's a guest member now for what, the last 25 years?
Something like that.
Seems like it.
But
anyway,
actually, he looks very clean cut today. Did you get a haircut?
Did you get it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He looked very clean cut.
Well, he might have got rained on the way in, too. Well,
that's true. Maybe
it might have
matted
him
down,
a little bit, right?
No, but his beard is shaven, and it's trimmed, I should say.
It's really not as scruffy looking as normal, but, you know, listen. Alan, I think you're darling today, really, now that I think about it. You're cute as a bug.
Well, thank you, Joe, but I just want you to know that it's nice having you back.
Hmm. See, I like, yeah, the way he gritted his teeth when he said that, but that was good, Alan. I appreciate it. Alan's a retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, and Alan is what I call my favorite messy Jew, which is it just sounds better than messianic, because messianic sounds proper, you know, because you Alan, come on, you're my favorite messy Jew. Alan is looks like a rabbi, walks like a rabbi, talks like a rabbi, which a rabbi basically just means teacher, and you are a teacher. But some years ago, you brought Jesus Christ into your soul and into your heart, and now you are what's called a Messianic Jew.
Right. A Messianic Jew is a Jewish person who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's that simple.
But, you know,
it is simple.
You know, listen, it's
and it's not hard to do.
But he still knows words like Shiva and temple.
Of course he did.
Well, you would have to say, you know what Shiva is, don't you?
Yeah, when I get cold.
Shiva is the ceremony that Jewish people go through when someone has died. The Orthodox Jews sit for 30 days, and they have 10 people that pray for the family and pray over the person that has died. And it's amazing that you brought that word up.
I know.
Because I
have you sat Shiva?
Well, oh, many times, yeah, unfortunately. But the reason I say it's amazing you brought that word up is in the last 2 days, one of my very close friends in Minneapolis lost her husband, and her best friend, who I've known for years as an excellent Scrabble player, died the next day. Mm. So she has a double whammy in the last 2 days.
So she's going to sit double Shiva.
Double Shiva. You know, it really is a beautiful, moving ceremony.
Well,
and it helps the family because it brings people together.
Of course. Mm. The whole thing about tradition, and we talked about that earlier today, that, you know, Vinny and I were both raised Catholic. I went to all boys Jesuit prep school, went to Catholic schools my whole life, you and I, you know, both. And what happens is we get these traditions burned into us, and most of them are beautiful. And they truly can be very. When I was a kid growing up in my neighborhood, you were Catholic or Jewish. My best buddy growing up, Doug Berman, so we used to go to each other's holidays. Now, when you're a kid, you don't care, you know, whose holiday is what. You just go because the food's there. I said, Doug, I'm not eating gefilte fish no matter what happens. But he was, He was much happier with our food than he was with his family's food.
I like the fact that Hanukkah, they had many more days of presents than we
yeah,
did.
Yeah, well, you got a lot more presents, right? Yeah, but
well, there's a biblical basis for Hanukkah. The fact that there was enough oil in the lamp over the altar to keep it for one day, and it lasted for 8 days, and that's why Hanukkah is an 8-day holiday, and from that many of the Jewish holidays, like the Passover
right.
holiday, you have the two Seders, but Passover is actually an 8-day holiday, but not all the time. The New Year celebration and the transition from the reading of Deuteronomy, the last chapters of Deuteronomy, to the beginning chapters of Genesis occur between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is 10 days.
Wait a minute.
Which is coming up.
Wait, don't you say soon. Yom Kippur?
Well,
I'm trying to be in my neighborhood. We're being proper.
I always say Yom Kippur because of the fact that I'm looking forward to breaking the fast at the end of Yom Kippur right. because I'm hungry. But, you know, some people say Yom Kippur. Some people say Yom Kippur. It's yeah. just accent.
I understand. 1-888-221-8990. I am Joe Martek. Joe Martek's a financial advisor. I'm here to answer your questions. When it comes to that, we're going to talk a little bit about a subject that I started a couple weeks ago that we got sidetracked on and never finished. But we also have not here other members of the team, which would be Greg Fasulo, attorney, who was on our morning show today. What happened is, it started back in 2004 doing radio shows, and it was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasulo, attorney, and Joe Martek, financial advisor. And the concept was simple. Each one of us had an area of expertise that the others did not, so we could answer questions for people that come up. And we've been very blessed to have helped hundreds of people over the years. I have no idea how many, but many, many, many people in many different directions. And we kind of look at it as an obligation that we have as a group, whether we're not looking to get paid. The concept is we're all blessed. We've all been very fortunate. And if we can help people, we're monster believers in that circle, and what goes around comes around. So we've been very fortunate, and WCNO has been extremely good to us, and we have helped quite a few people, and it's been a wonderful experience. And Alan, you've witnessed quite a bit of that because you've been hanging out with us.
That's for sure. I had an experience in the past month a family was abused by a financial advisor. The financial advisor put a 92-year-old grandfather's home on a quitclaim deed and also one half of the grandfather's assets. And we were talking like $200,000 there. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that happened was, of the fact, being a retired attorney, I had no skin in the game, and so I knew that if I could reasonably be assured of a person's competency to sign a new will,
right.
that would be very helpful to the family. And I was able to do that, and that's the point I want to make. And Greg Fasulo and I talked about that this morning, that when... if you get into an abuse situation like that, number one, one of the first things you should do is contact the agency that controls that area. Like for broker dealers like you, Joe, right, it would right. be FINRA. For accounting,
Department of Professional Regulation
in Florida. Yeah. Department of Business and Professional Regulation.
But the thing is, and this is my important point. You don't have to show competency as a continuing thing with an older person, but you do have to show competency at the time you are clarifying what that person wants in his or her will.
Of course.
And I was able to do it by questioning the grandfather, but then later on in the day when it was not expected, the first time I was sitting down with the family, so he had probably been tutored and ready to give. But then the family insisted on taking me out to dinner, and right after we got out of the restaurant, I immediately asked those qualification questions again. Who do you want your assets to go to? And he immediately gave me the lucid answer of his family members. So now, if it gets contested in court, I feel very confident as far as being able to testify without having any qualms about it, because at the time he signed the will and at the time he questioned him,
he was confident.
On three occasions, he was competent.
And let me just say, with jumping on the same subject, and we've talked about this a couple of times, but I had a lady, a retired client of mine, who was on dialysis, and she said, I'm going to do this for a year, and if I don't get better, I'm going to quit and die. And she says, I'm not looking for permission, Joe, I'm just telling you. Well, a year goes by, and she said, I'm done with dialysis, and signed. I said, hey, so that's all there is to it. So then she had roughly $1 million in her estate. And she decided 2 weeks before she died, she was going to change who was going to get the money. And I said, boy, that always goes over well. Basically, the same thing we're talking. You get an elderly person or a person that is on the edge of the end of their life. And this particular person was very close to it. So what I did was we literally took Greg Fasula, attorney, and a videographer into the nursing home, into the hospital, on two separate occasions. And that person had to recite exactly what they wanted done with each person by percentage without any instruction from anybody, and was asked very specifically if this was all her idea on her own, if anybody had prepped her, and she was very, very, very lucid both times. Well, then when she died, I get a phone call from a relative up in Maine saying, I'm in the will, right? And I said, yeah, you are. Matter of fact, I'm going to send you a copy of a videotape and the whole and the trust that she had, just so you know where you are. Because I anticipated his interest went down from about $50,000 to $15,000. So, you know, that's kind of a good hit. But she wanted people to get money that obviously were doing things for her, the people that other ones were not. And there was never a bit of contesting because we went through that gyration to make sure that those that she wanted got it done. And what you're saying, Alan, very simply, the rule is competency. A person has to be competent when they sign a will, a power of attorney, all of these documents. And then who is going to attest to that competency? Well, if an attorney does it, he's putting himself on the line, but there's also going to be witnesses that all have to attest to that fact. So you double whammy it even after the fact, which is, you're going to do the right thing for what that person wanted.
Well, what's more upsetting to me than anything is the fact that somebody in the business that you're in, I was in for many years, does something like that to a family. It's just a shame.
You know, listen, there's all kinds of people out there that have credentials. I don't care if it's a CPA, an attorney, a financial advisor. Bernie Madoff. He was loaded with credentials. And guess what? He was a crook, a thief. And listen, there's in the clergy and everything. How do you know this person is and this person isn't? It's not a clear-cut thing. So the object of anything that you do, one, what I try to do and everybody in our group tries to do is, one, is educate. Make sure you know what you're doing. And I've had numerous clients say, hey, Joe, I trust you. Just go ahead and do it. I said, no, I want to sit with you and make sure you understand what you're doing. You're allowed to forget it. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, Joe, tell me what you told me 6 months ago that I forgot. Because we do it every day. We get used to it. But let's face it. It's never that simple. So people do have to understand what they're doing. And we go to extremes to make it happen. And everybody in our group does, which we didn't mention Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, hardest working realtor alive. And I mean, she's done some good things for a friend of yours, right, Alan?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, man, what he has done to help people and put people into the right things. I had a case a few years ago that I've not talked about. A fellow that I know was very substantial. I mean, very substantial. And then the recession hit, and all of a sudden he was in deep trouble. And he had a piece of property, very substantial piece of property, homestead, that he wanted to get a reverse mortgage on. Well, the old rules for a reverse mortgage up until a year or two ago, you didn't have to worry about credit or anything. That was never a concern. But then all of a sudden they changed the rules because they're now concerned about you paying the taxes and insurance and maintaining the property.
Right.
So he was working with a broker, and that broker was not doing a job. Listen, let's face it, not everybody does what they're supposed to do. So he called me up, and out of the blue, because he knows me, and said, "Joe, I need help. Can you help me?" And I said, "Hey, this is not what I do, but I'm going to get a hold of Mike Paulus." And I called Mike and gave him the story, and I said, "Mike, you've got to know something. He's not licensed to do this up in Michigan," which is where this was. I said, "But you've got to know somebody that can help him." And he did, and got him through this crisis. And that's what we do as a group. You know, we're there to help people. It wasn't to do with compensation. It was just to help. So what Mike has been able to do for people, and we've had some nice people call in and give unsolicited testimonials about how Mike got people financed who probably were not that easy to finance, but he helped cure them. One of the things that happens is, like, if you walk into a bank and you say, "I want to apply for a mortgage," you fill out some paperwork and maybe give a deposit, and 2 or 3 weeks later they say yes, no, or maybe. Mike will tell you usually in 15 minutes over the phone, and you don't have to make an application. He'll let you know what you stand, what you have to do in order to get prepared, or if you're okay like you are right now. So we've been very fortunate when putting this group together of local professionals. Another minor little thing, none of us house together, meaning we don't share office space, we don't share commissions fees, nobody's in charge one or the other. What I wanted to have was local professionals with experience that were credible with integrity. And thank you, Lord, we've been able to do just that. So in spite of all of that rhetoric, you could call 1-888. In fact, if you have a cell phone, you don't have to dial the 1. You can just dial 888-221-8990. Got Vince Rosino, CPA. Got Alan Love, retired attorney. Joe Martek, financial advisor. Pastor Dave sitting there pretending he's paying attention.
I'm hanging on every word, actually.
Well, you know. A couple weeks ago, I've been watching these commercials on TV where people are talking about all this interest they're being earned, and I'm kind of get sick to my stomach because they never actually say that people can take that interest out and spend it.
Which interest are you talking about, Joe?
Well, there's these commercials on TV that say, "Hey, you know, there's no risk investments, and we're going to protect your money, and we're going to make you."
Oh, the one that says, "You know, average 8% a year,
or 15% last year I made," and you know, testimonials.
Yep.
Well, number one, if it's a securities representative, meaning they have a broker dealer, every commercial has to be approved ahead of time. And the way you can tell, if you listen to our show before we got started, not only did we have Spirit in the Sky, but we also had a disclaimer that I have to go through and explain that I'm with Centaurus Financial, my broker-dealer, and you will hear that same disclaimer at the end of the show because my compliance people say this is what you have to do. And then they say, "Joe, you're not allowed to say this, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that," all kinds of stuff, and they listen to these shows, and because there are restrictions. If you see an ad in the newspaper or on television and it doesn't mention securities offered through or a broker dealer, the odds are good they are not licensed to do securities. They're licensed to do an insurance product. So what I was leading into, there is an instrument out there that a lot of people think sounds like a wonderful thing. And in fact, Alan Love, retired attorney from the great state of Wisconsin, thought this, quote, index annuity was the greatest thing since chocolate milk until I kind of
disabused them of that notion.
Because what happens is this, what they say with this particular product, that sometimes they'll pay you a bonus up front the first day of 12%. right now, bam, we put 12% into the account. Then we are going to pay you based on the growth of the S&P 500. Now, what did the S&P 500 do last year, Alan?
It was up 19%.
So that means I got 12% the first day, and if I was in the whole year, we had 12 and 19 together.
31%.
That's a pretty good year.
Wow.
That's a pretty good year. Now, it's not true. The index annuity says we will pay you interest based on an index. They're not saying you're going to earn the index. They're not saying you're going to be invested in the index. The phraseology is very careful. You got to be very careful to listen to this. You will earn interest accrued based on the performance of the index. Now, then very often some of these products come up and say, okay, fine, we're going to have a guaranteed income for the rest of your life based on a certain age, and it's going to be 7% per year. Now, there's a word that is stuck in there, and you got to be careful now, because it's not interest, it's a factor, F-A-C-T-O-R.
Oh, yes.
It's a calculation on how you get paid. It's not interest. But the average person doesn't necessarily see that, and I would never say that a representative might not explain that properly. But boy, when I see these ads on TV and I see these big seminars and these people thinking they're going to get all of this, then I have never heard one of them say, oh, by the way, starting right away, this interest that I'm talking about you getting and accruing, you can take out and spend. You can't do that. What they do is, it's I wouldn't say it's necessarily a game of mirrors, but let's say we started off with 100,000 and now we got 131,000 in the account. Well, how do I collect my 131? Oh, you have to set up a pension. We are now going to pay you every month for the rest of your life, or until the money runs out, a factor of 7 or 6 or 7.5%. So all of these numbers and these terminologies become very, very, very difficult for the average person to understand. There's a lot of representatives that are doing these products that don't even know the way they're taught, and what they're taught, what they do, they really don't even know themselves. So it's very difficult. What I'm trying to tell you folks is, not everybody out there is a crook or deceiving or anything, but these products, when you hear that word index, if it's an index annuity, you just want to let the hair stand up a little bit, and you've got to do quite a bit of research, quite a bit of research. What I've done very often, I'll go into somebody's house because they have such a product and they don't understand it. And what I normally do is say, okay, fine, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to write the questions down ahead of time. You and I are going to talk for the next 10 minutes or so, and we're going to write all the questions down that you want to know, even though you don't know all the questions. I know the questions you ask. Then what we're going to do is we're going to call the company. We're not going to call the agent. And we're going to ask these questions. And when we're all done and hang up, you're going to throw up. Because what you think you've got, you don't have. One of the big things that comes up on these products is, say, we're going to pay you based on this index interest. And the index went up 19% last year. But I've never heard any one of these people explain there's a cap, CAP, on how much can be added to your account. And I have seen caps of 2%, 2.5%, which means you might have had accrued 19, but you can only get 2 or 2.5 added to your account. So it's very, very, very
misleading.
You got to be very careful. It's very deceiving. Most broker dealers now, if I wanted to do one, they have certain ones that are approved. They have to go through compliance like there's no tomorrow. People have to sign 10 pieces of paper saying they really understand what they're doing. It's very, very, very difficult. I don't do them. I avoid them like the plague, because I've never seen one that people really understand. They're very difficult. So I see these commercials on TV and these people making bundles of money and doing these big seminars, because they're letting people think that they're actually going to earn quite a bit of money. The other side of the coin that people don't know, if you have a fixed, quote, annuity contract, the interest is usually based on the bond market. If the bond market is paying 3%, it's pretty hard to pay 10 or 12. So I mean, it's a very difficult
thing. Unless you're running a Ponzi scheme, John.
Well, it's as close to one, but it's a, you know what? These products are approved because if the person understands what they're getting and understands it, that they're not going to be able to take out any of the money. The only way they can collect the money is when they set up a pension, and they may have to go 5 or 10 or 12 years, and if they cash the whole thing in, they might have a 15 or 20% penalty. I mean, it's a very difficult instrument. Mm-hmm. And I have gone through, I had one that I was sitting with, and they had a 12-page fine print, and it took me, oh, maybe 10 minutes to find the cap, which they were never explained to. Now, that person could have read for the rest of their life and read right through that and never understood it, because I'm telling you, it was 12 pages of fine print before they got to the fact that there was a 2.5% cap. So it's a very, very, very difficult thing. Now,
let me understand this, Joe. You have an upside cap, right? No downside, right?
Well, sometimes there's a downside of 1%. That they have a downside guarantee of 1%. So, hey, there's nothing wrong with a 1% guarantee. It's not that it's good, but there's nothing wrong with it. So what they say is the most you can earn on the upside is 2.5 or 3, and the least you can make is 1, unless there's no gain in the index at all. Then you get nothing, but you don't lose anything.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you're okay and understand the difference between 1 and 3, you're okay. Some of these products say, we, the company, can change the cap every year to whatever we want. But it'll never be less than 1 or 1.5 or 2, whatever the number might be. So I really have a problem with products that are not clear black and white. I mean, I'm a big black and white person when it comes to people investing. Here's what you get. Here's what you're going to get paid. Here's how you get paid. Here's your downside risks. Here's your upside potential.
The reason you're not going to see that, Joe, is that that's how attorneys make their money. They have these mega contracts and mega things that they write out that the average person is told, read it, everything is there. And then when they don't understand it and they complain about it and it goes to court, the attorneys say, it was right here in black and white,
yep.
You know. They should have known, you know, we put it in there for them, you know.
And you're right.
You mentioned Bernie Madoff earlier. Well, it's a two-way street. A lot of people that got burned by Madoff didn't even look at their monthly statements.
Right.
And when you have financial interest, your 401ks, whatever it is, the least you can do is spend 10 minutes and look at your monthly statement to catch something that just doesn't seem right. If you hear that the market has gone down 5% in the last month and you get a statement that shows that you were up 30%, well, maybe you were if you owned some of the high-flying stocks that did well. But most of the time, if you're up that much with the market down 5%, there's something wrong.
One of the problems that happens is, too, Bernie and other people, they ended up using phony statements. They weren't real statements.
Right.
So what happens is, most of us that are licensed like I am, we have a broker-dealer. Not broker-dealers are like Merrill Lynch, Dean Witter, Smith Barney. Pick all the names. Mine is Centaurus Financial. There's 600 and some odd reps all over the country. And they get a statement once a month or once a quarter, depending on the product or depending on what they've got. And, you know, nobody likes these statements. But the very first page says what they started with, what happened that month, plus or minus, whatever it might be. Then there's the backup inside of it. Well, that's that type. If they have an annuity contract, they get a different type of statement, but it's usually even clearer. Almost always, you can go online and check your stuff out every day if you want to. And I make it a big point with clients of mine. Hey, let me just show you. You can go online and register, and anytime you want to check it, and today, well, you can do it on your phone, you can do it on a computer, you can find out what you've got, and you can even call the company and get the same information. It's all very, very user-friendly. Now, a lot of people don't like to do that, but the reality is you can, and these are important things. You don't necessarily want to call up a guy like Bernie Madoff and ask him how things are going, but if you had somebody else beside Bernie, the agent, holding the money, meaning an insurance company or a brokerage house, they've got the numbers. And I'm not saying that very many people out there are crooks, but there are people that are crooks, and we all know it. So you just have to keep your eyes open. 1-888-221-8990. So let me rephrase where we started from. The first annuity I talked about is what's called an immediate annuity, which is a pension. Like if you retired from General Motors, before you retire, you sit down with the people and say, hey, you're going to retire, Charlie. Here's what happens. We can give you a check every month for the rest of your life of $1,000 a month. And Charlie says, well, what if I die after one check? Money's gone. Well, I don't want that. I want my wife to keep getting a check. Okay, then what we'll do is we'll give you a check every month for $900. And when you die, your wife will get $800 until she dies. So it's a little bit less. You say, wait a minute, isn't there any other wrinkles you can put in? Well, insurance companies often say, okay, fine, we can have a 10-year minimum or a 15-year minimum or a 20-year minimum. You can get a check every month for the rest of your life, but no less than 10 years in case you get run over by a truck tomorrow. Somebody will keep getting that check for the next 10 or 15 or 20 years. So the immediate annuity, I usually just refer to it as a pension. So you can have these different options. Different people have different motivations on what they need. I had one old lady, she didn't like her family, didn't like anybody. She didn't want anybody to get a dime when she died. So she got the highest income per month, but if she died after one check, nobody would get a nickel. Now she happened to live another 10 years, she beat the company, she did well. But the bottom line is, you make this decision, and once you've made it, it's in concrete. Now, there's nothing wrong with these pensions, because you get the same thing if you retire from a big company. Once you've made your election, that's what you're stuck with. The next one we talked about is just a pure fixed annuity. Pure fixed. Pure fixed. Hey, Vin says, Joe, what can I get? Say, okay, a pure fixed annuity, they're going to pay you 3% a year for the next 5 years. Every year, 3%. Period. Can it change? No. Can it go up? No. Can it go down? No. Is there anything else? Okay, fine. They'll pay you 3% the first year, and then the next year it might change. Well, what's the floor? Well, maybe 1.5 or 2. It can't go lower than that, but it could go up to 3.5 or 3.25 or whatever. But literally, it's an interest rate, and it's going to be in concrete, and sometimes they can change them once a year. Sometimes they stay fixed for 5 or 7 or 10 years. Pick your number. It's just the way they are. Now, understand, if the banks are paying 2.5 or whatever it might be, about the best numbers I've heard for fixed right now are around 3%. And again, it's all based on the bond market. If the bonds are paying 3, where are we going to find this magic number that's going to pay more? So the fixed annuity, you can take interest out usually monthly. You can cash it in. There may be a penalty because if you start these contracts, usually a 5-year contract, they would have a penalty if you decide to cash the whole thing in during the 5 years. So you need to know what those penalties are and why they are. Because almost always, these contracts, nothing is held out for commissions, fees, and expenses, but there are commissions, fees, and expenses, so they want you to stick around so they can make money. So there are penalties. They're not severe, but you need to know those things when you get started. So then the variable, which quite honestly, I've got people. In fact, we had a client call in. I think it was on PSL a couple weeks ago. She was just happy as a clam because in the last 18 months, she's up over 30%. Well, literally, she's invested in the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100, and she got all of the benefits of all of those 500 companies in one and the 100 companies in the other. The insurance company came along and says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a guaranteed death benefit for you, and we're going to have a guaranteed income benefit in case the world comes to an end and things change. They lock in the numbers. Now, my compliance people say you have to know which insurance company you're dealing with, their claims paying ability. I only deal with the highest rated companies on purpose. We want no aggravation. But literally, it's nice to make money, but we all know that nothing but nothing always goes up.
If it does,
we haven't found it yet.
If it does, it comes down invariably.
Got a question, a tax question for you that's related to this. If you have a variable annuity and you need to withdraw money from that annuity, is it tax? Are there tax penalties like a retirement plan if you're under 59 and a half?
Absolutely.
Yes.
What about in hardship exceptions? Are there hardship exceptions?
Yeah, there are.
It depends on the plan. Yes, they could be. Like in 401k, sometimes there are hardship provisions in there. Yes.
Well, in the annuity contract now, they have what's called a 72T. So let's say it's an IRA or retirement account. You can start taking the money out even at 50 or 40 or anything, but you have to take it out on a systematic basis over a long period of time. You can't start and stop.
In other words, you annuitize
it. Exactly. You set it up as he calls it, a pension. If you do it over your life expectancy, yes, you won't be penalized.
So they make exceptions. If we take a Roth IRA, they make an exception where people can take out money to buy a house the first time. Very often they can withdraw money and not have a penalty.
That's in the, it's in the IRAs, in all the IRAs.
59 and a half is the magic number. If you take money out prior to 59 and a half, usually there's a 10% penalty. All annuity contracts that I know of, everyone, it's ordinary income tax. It's no other form of tax, period. I mean, that's just the way they are. It's ordinary income tax. If it's, you put $100,000 in at your own money and it earns $150,000, now it's worth $250,000 and you cash it in, the $150,000 that you earned is subject to tax. The $100,000 you put in is not.
And it's usually proportional. They take a percentage of whatever you're taking as part as principal, part as interest.
If you take it on a systematic basis, in other words, if you set up a pension, but if you take it all at one time, it's all subject right now.
Yep.
I've had many times people say, Joe, I need to take out $100,000 out of the account. And I said, okay, here, can we divvy it up over 2 years? Let's take some money in December and some in January so we can help mitigate the taxes if they can do it. In other words, there's lots of ways that we can help people eliminate or mitigate tax hits, but there has to be some flexibility on the client standpoint too. Anyway. Ordinary income, one of the benefits of an annuity, one, if you don't take money out, it's tax deferred, just like an IRA or anything, whether it is or not, makes no difference. When you take money out, it's ordinary income tax. If you die, it's not, you forget that word if. When you die, it's not subject to probate, doesn't go through the court system. And last but not least, if you get sued, it can't be taken away from you. So it has a lot of the benefits of a retirement account, even though it may not be a retirement account. It can be an IRA, and it doesn't have to be an IRA. So it can be your own money, or it can be retirement money. You can roll over, under most circumstances, a 401k from your employer to your own annuity contract. It's still called an IRA, an individual retirement account, because it's never been taxed. And the government says, hey, no tax when you roll it, but when you put it in your pocket, now it's going to be subject to tax.
You mentioned that you can withdraw money from a Roth IRA in order to be a first-time home buyer.
Mm-hmm.
But based on previous conversations that we've had, Joe, isn't it your philosophy you buy the home first and then start the IRA?
Well, the key is this. I'm just saying if you already have this instrument.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying you should start it. One of the problems we have, and Vin and I run into it constantly with young people, they're doing well, or they think they're doing well, so they start saving money for retirement. Then they get married and have babies and buy a house, and they cash in their retirement account, and all of a sudden they have to pay a 10% penalty plus the tax. So I normally, when I advise young people, now there's exceptions. If they're both working in superior jobs and they've got 401ks and they got all kinds of good things going for them, there are exceptions to the rule. But my basic thing is this. I hate to see kids have these penalties and taxes when they didn't need to because they didn't put the horse and the cart in the proper order. Back again, married, house, children. Once you've taken care of those responsibilities, that's a better time to start saving for retirement. Now, if you can do it at the same time you're doing all of that, hallelujah, I'm impressed. But many, many young people, it's very difficult to do that. Is that answering what you're saying, Alan?
Yes, absolutely.
1-888. Nobody loves us today, Vin.
I know, it's quiet.
It's just because it's raining outside, you know?
Well, I would think people would be in listening to the radio.
They should, no, you know, they should be sitting in their car because they can't get out of the car because it's raining. And they should have us on.
Yeah,
they probably do, but
streets are flooded.
They're so enthralled with all the information, they don't know where to start asking questions.
Way to go, Dave.
He's a great marketeer, I have to say.
I don't see a good cartoonist. Yes, he's a good marketeer.
Exactly. You should keep it coming.
I should. Maybe I shouldn't quit my day job, or could quit my day job.
Yeah, right. That's right. You should quit your day job.
888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Say, Vince, I mean, I know the tax code you're easing into this year, and it's not been totally figured out yet.
It's getting better every day, Joe.
Yeah.
More and more enlightenment. And they're getting more definition. As the Congress starts to chew into it, they're issuing some preliminary regulations, or at least giving you guidance.
So
big one is this year, you know, is the A-199 deduction, which is this extra 20% bonus deduction for people who own pass-through entities. Hmm. There was a lot of controversy with that because certain fields of endeavor were excluded from this initially.
Meaning you and me.
Yeah. The accountants, the lawyers, the financial advisors, not architects. They were excluded, and then they were put in deliberately.
Uh-huh.
And they said, yeah, no, we don't mean them. They can stay. I guess this was a way to say if you're part of the construction industry, they wanted you to benefit. But anyway, so now it turns out it's not the case. You can get that deduction, but it's within certain income limits. So if you're between anything up to $315,000 of total family income.
Now this is gross.
Gross. That's everything. If you make $315,000 or less, then you're eligible, even no matter what you do.
No matter what.
But if you're between $315,000 and $415,000, it phases out. If you're at $415,000 or above, and if you're in those exempted groups, then you can't. It's over. You got nothing.
You know, and this is back to the way the tax code has always been. The people at the top are going to pay the most. They get the least deductions. Nothing new there.
Right.
You know, what's the top 5% pay 80% of the taxes, right?
Exactly.
That's about it. Let's take a call.
Please do.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi.
Hi.
I do have a question today. You guys are talking about no one's listening to you. No one loves you guys. So I said, let me call in.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I have a question about the price of a package deal for a simple will, a living will, and there was a dual power of attorney and also a medical. It was something basic, I guess, for husband and wife, and I thought it was a great idea. How much money do you think it would cost to...
Well, you're going to
get something like that.
If Greg Fasula was here, attorney right now, he's going to hit me and kick me because what I'm going to tell you, he would hit me and kick me because what happens, it depends on the complexity of what you put into the will. So let's just give you an example. Do you own a house?
I do.
Okay. Do you own any investment property, meaning rental income property?
No.
Okay. Okay. Do you have a job?
I do.
Do you have a 401k with the job?
I do.
Oh,
I do.
Okay. Do you have? Are you married?
Yes.
Children?
Adult.
Grandchildren?
Yes.
So what we're doing is, see, every time I'm asking you a question, I'm complicating this thing a little bit. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
I do. So here comes the documents. Number one is a will. You drop dead today, who gets the money? Well, I got a husband, and I've got children, and I've got grandchildren. So all of a sudden, I've got five or six people written down in that will rather than one person. Okay, that's not that a big deal, but I've got to make sure that I've got all the T's and the I's. Next, we have this homestead, the house that you live in, which is not subject to probate. This is pretty easy. So we know we can pass that house to your heirs without going through the probate system because we have a will in the state of Florida and that's not subject. So this is not hard. Then we have retirement accounts with beneficiaries. We're not too concerned about that. But we have vehicles and we have a boat and we got a couple cars.
And we have some jewelry, personal effects.
Anyway, the four documents that you're talking about are the norm. One, we have a will. Two, we have a power of attorney. Three, we have a health care surrogate, meaning if somebody can make decisions for you for your health. And then we have a living will that says, hey, I don't want you to keep me alive artificially for one day, one week, one month, whatever. You can put that down so that in case you're out to lunch and nobody wants to let you die but you're brain dead, that you say, hey, my document says keep me alive for just 2 weeks or 1 hour or whatever, that's your four doc. That's your four documents. So let me give you the lowest that I've heard lately. You ready?
Yes.
About $500. Now that it can be more, but I don't think it's often very much less than that, because based on what you're saying, and boy, Greg would kick me right now under the table. He says, Joe, that's not fair. But what you do, if you were to meet with Greg Fasula and you went through that whole stuff, when you're all done, he'd say, okay, fine, based on what you say, this is what it's going to cost, and you don't pay me till we're done. And you don't hire him until you've made your mind up, and you don't hire him that day necessarily. Now, most attorneys should do the same thing.
Yes. Okay. That was very helpful.
Okay. Anytime we can help, that's the name of the game.
All right. I love and enjoy listening to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for calling.
You know, and Greg would be kicking me.
Oh,
know.
Yeah.
I mean, he hates it when I do that.
You know, you're bootstrapping him.
I know. But literally, but see, I've only known Greg for 20-some years, and Greg used to say, okay, Joe, this is one of your clients. What am I charging him? He'd give me a dirty look because Greg is fair. He was good. He doesn't gouge people.
That is true.
He doesn't put together phony documents and make it look pretty. He puts together what is necessary.
You're right, Joe, when you ask those questions about how complex is our situation.
Yeah.
Because the more things that are there, the more you need to attach.
Well,
you know, to attach your desire to it. Like, what do you want to do with it? I mean, where's it go? Who's it go to?
What do you get paid? You get paid for your time.
Exactly. And the more complex it is, the more time, and therefore it's more expensive.
There you go.
If you had a basic, so it was like a tax return. All you have is a W-2 form.
Yeah.
It's one price. If you've got rental properties, investment properties, you got itemized deductions, and
sure.
Then it gets more complex and more expensive. Exam because of knowledge and time.
See, what happens is attorneys, CPAs, financial advisors, oftentimes we get paid for our time. Okay, if we put in 1 hour, that's one price. We put in 10 hours, obviously, that's another price. It's real hard to eat without getting paid.
Yeah, because many times, Joe, I have to tell you, I get phone calls frequently. Yeah. Then they'll tell me, how much you charge for a tax return?
Yeah. Well, that was easy, right?
It's like all tax returns are equal. You know,
one of my favorite answers is, how much you got? People look at me and say,
$55.
What? And I said, no, I'm kidding. I've been trying to find somebody willing to donate forever. Let me take another call. Caller's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Mr. Joe. How everybody else around?
Hello there.
Everything's good. How you doing?
I'm good. I have a question. I'm married. I have kids. And I want to buy an investment property.
Okay.
But I don't want to have to do anything with marriage. I want to be like a straight business. So how do you guys think that I can be done?
You want to buy a piece of property, and you want to put it in your name only, right?
As an investment, yeah.
And you don't want to put it in your wife's name, just your name.
Just name it. That's business matter, not have to do with marriage, with nothing else.
Okay, fine. And that's possible. Now, then you say, hey, if I die, forget the word if. When I die, I want that to go to my kids, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so now you have a will. And what you do, you get the property, you deed it in your name only, and when you die, it goes to the children. Now, let me complicate life for you just a hair. If you don't put your wife into it, and you happen to die, and she finds out about that property, and you did not specifically give her a share of that, she may be entitled to what we used to call dower rights, meaning marriage rights, no matter what, whether you like it or not. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay,
it's part of the could be part of the marital estate.
Part of the
marital estate.
So
therefore, she could share in that or have a piece of that.
Now, on the other hand, if you establish a trust, sometimes the trust can be a little more definitive. But I'm not saying it will be. This is now talking to an attorney. But very often, people will establish a trust and put that property into the trust, and the trust is now the owner. You can be the trustee, anybody can be the trustee, whoever you name. Gets a little more complicated, but what I'm trying to do is protect what you want. And at this point, If you start to do that thing, I would advise strongly that you hire an attorney to make sure you do it correctly.
Okay. When you say trustee, can you elaborate a little bit on trustee?
A trust is an object, a document that has the same rights and authorities of a person. It's just like a person, but it's just let's say Joe Martek is a person, but Joe Martek has a trust. So that trust owns my property, but I own the trust. And I am the trustee of the trust, so the trust has to do whatever I tell it. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it's a separate document that provides some protection, and it can be valuable in the case of investment property because it can avoid probate when you die, and the properties can pass to who you want it to in that trust.
And they're very flexible, callers, so you can direct how the income is going to be distributed while the property's still there. So if you have rental property, for example, and you're earning profits from that, you can decide who's going to get those profits. And then when you pass, then there's also within the document says who's going to inherit this property eventually. So it's a very good instrument to have because it legalizes it, and there's a formality to it, and there's an end point. There's a resolution to it.
Anyway, it might see what happens is if you start to get ready to go buy an investment piece of property, one of the things you do just before you do that is talk to an attorney like our guy and say, hey, tell me if I should establish a trust or not. And he'll tell you the straight skinny and if it's in your best interest.
Okay, one more thing. Let's say I build a trust and, okay, let's say thing happen, everything goes sideways and we have to separate. Would that be involved in marriage?
Maybe.
Split out in marriage or we mean my property?
Maybe. Point is, you don't know, but here comes it back to an attorney. And
yes.
I hate to tell you.
That's a legal point, but my experience, Joe,
yeah.
It's part of the marital estate.
Anything you acquire during the course of your marriage, normally the court says it's your partner's, your wife.
Unless you had it before you got married, and you had a prenuptial agreement,
or it's not in your name. If you bought it like in your mother's name or your brother's name or something like that, then it's a different story. But then it would be subject. Now I'm down to 15 seconds, so I can't talk more. But you want to call us next week on our radio? We'll talk about this some more. But the bottom line, it's an attorney that I think you need to talk to.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're welcome.
1-888-221-8990. We are done. We're talking until next week. Bye.
You've been listening to the Team Martek Program. The Team Martek Program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek Program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-678-7725.
Just to love.